Well, we are into 2015, and we have a theme for 2015. It's actually a fill-in sheet in your bulletin. I ask you to take out, and we are going to just launch into this. And the first fill-in, and it's something you should know because we've been talking about it, the theme for 2015 is, you can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. And the second is the answer to it. We need to connect with God and with others. We need to connect with God and with others. Last week we talked about connecting with God and how important it was to connect with God. That you are not meant to live your Christian life by yourself, on your own. You need God. We looked at the scripture where it says, Jesus talked about, unless you abide in the vine, you'll not bear any fruit. We have to be in the vine. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And we need to abide in the vine. And so we talked about connecting with God. We had a great week last week. We followed up by having 3 days of prayer and fasting, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I tell you, that was such a good time. I think it was the intensity of it. We've done it different ways over the years. But just taking 3 days, but being intense in our focus upon the Lord. We had prayer meetings here at 5 o'clock in the morning. First Tuesday, we had 15 people here at 5 o'clock. And just around that number for Wednesday and Thursday. Good times of prayer. We met at noon hour to 1, and again, a good group of people that came. And we brought our request before the Lord. We had 2 bulletin boards here, and after we'd pray for a request, we'd write it down and put it on the board, and it was continually brought to the Lord during those prayer times. And then in the evenings, we met at 7 to 8:30, and again, just a great time. I think personally, it was one of the better, if I could put it that way. They're all good, but you know, just sort of a sense of God's presence, that just fasting for 3 days and pressing into God for prayer, it was good. Folks, that's what we need. If we're not a spiritual people, we're just a people. We need to be a spiritual people. God is a spirit. And we only be a spiritual people when we connect with God's spirit. And it's not something in the past, it's a present tense. Lord, right with us every moment. We need to connect with God. It was so good. At the end, I don't know, we must have over 100 requests that we specifically prayed for, stuck the cards on. The last evening, we divvied up all those requests to people as they went home so that they'd continue. I have mine right in my Bible. And even this morning as I was opening my Bible, I had the requests that I had taken. And I'm continuing to lift them to the Lord. I hope that you are too, those that were coming out and took those requests home with you. Just let me share a resource with you that I didn't know, but it was really beneficial. And that is, there is a live feed that you can go on the internet, a live feed out of the International House of Prayer, International House of Prayer from Kansas City. They have a 24/7 prayer meeting. Just goes on for 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They have musicians scheduled in. They come in, take a period of time. It is a prayer service, and it's alive. You can actually watch it, but it's mostly worship songs and interspersed with people having prayer requests, coming up to the mic and just praying, and the music just continues. We found that such a atmosphere that we just played that during our times. And if we were talking, obviously, we'd just turn it down, but we just flowed with that atmosphere. And I would encourage you, avail yourself of this. If you're in a time of prayer, you're going to do your prayer time. Sometimes you just sort of feel a little, I'm getting up to my prayer time. You know, just put that feed on. You can just Google it. It's, International House of Prayer, the prayer room, or 24/7, it'll come up. And just Just allow that atmosphere to begin to prepare your heart for your own prayer time. It's a powerful resource. And so just make sure you take advantage of it. Some of the things that come out, I'm going to, in my prayer time, just have that available to just be in that atmosphere of prayer. See, we're connecting with God. And you need to practice His presence. That's what we shared last week. Practice His presence. God is an intangible God, and you can't see Him. And so you will naturally be overpowered, if you're not careful, with natural things that you see from your five senses. You've got to constantly tune into that spiritual realm and connect with God. And you do that by making His presence tangible to your life. Just think that He's with you all the time. Don't go anywhere without the sense, will the Lord go with me here? Don't say anything without you having the sense, the Lord wants me to say this. Don't buy anything unless you have the sense, God wants me to buy this. That is moving and abiding in His presence, abiding in the vine. So I just encourage you to not lose connecting with God. Because we're going to move on today to the next aspect, which is connecting with others. But I want you to know, just because the message is moving on, keep connecting day after day, constantly living in the presence of the Lord. Okay, God is the only self-sufficient one. He's the only one that doesn't need us. And here's your fill-in, God has chosen to connect with us. God has chosen to connect with us. He doesn't need us, but it's His heart's desire. He wants to connect with us, and it cost Him. When we fell away and the relationship was broken because of our sin, Jesus came, gave His life so that our relationship could come back into, be restored. We said last week, God is invested in this relationship. Are you invested in it? Because it's really important that we are. Okay, let's go on to the next one, and you can bring it up. Jesus' prayer concern was His relationship with His disciples. Now, we're going to go to the prayer found in John chapter 17 that Jesus prayed just before He began His passion, as it's known. The 3 days where He was going to suffer and die. Well, it was actually within a day that He died, but then through in His resurrection and so forth. He prayed a prayer, and we have it recorded here. Now, as you read the prayer, you see that Jesus is sort of reporting to His Father what He'd done on His mission of being on this earth. And He's just about ready to return to heaven and finish His mission. But it's as in this prayer, he's giving report, as it were, to the Father of His mission that He carried out. Now, if it was me, what would you report to the Lord? Well, you know, Lord, I was faithful in getting up every day and praying. You know, and Jesus did. He got up, He prayed. I had great crowds. Thousands of people came. I fed 5,000 people. I healed the lame. I opened blind eyes. You could go through a list of things that were all good, and Jesus did them because it was important. But that wasn't His concern as He's praying. His concern was His relationship with His disciples. Now, I don't know whether that strikes you, but that really strikes me. Listen to, and what I did, I just edited a little bit the verses. You can read the whole thing in John 17, but for the sake of putting it on the paper this morning, I want us just to read through this. It starts in verse 6. I have manifested Your name to the men who You have given Me out of the world. Well, who were those men? It was His disciples. The 12 men that He had chosen. Notice what He says. They were Yours. You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. Now, who chose these disciples? Jesus did. But He did choose them after a night of prayer, if you read the account. After spending time with the Lord, His Father, He prayed, and then He chose these men. But he says, they're not mine. He said, they're yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept their word. Verse 8, for I have given to them the words which you have given to me, and they have received them. And the first part of verse 9, I pray for them. So when Jesus is in prayer, he says, now I want to pray for these men you have given me, the 12 disciples. That was the ones Jesus connected with. You think he didn't need anybody. But he needed them. In fact, he gathered them for this prayer time. And they went with him. And he kept back checking on them and found they fell asleep. It's like he needed them. He was relying on them to help him as he prayed through this time. And so now he's praying for them. And then he goes on in verse 9. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Now, this seems remarkable to me. I mean, he's just about ready to die for the sins of the whole world. I mean, this is what it's all about. He's going to take the sins of the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And yet his focus in this prayer time, he said, I'm not praying for the world, but I'm praying for those who you have given me, for they are yours. I want you to see this. He realized that these men he was in relationship with were entrusted to him from his Father. Our theme is we need to connect with God and with each other. And the question that we need to pose to ourselves as we're reading through this is, how much do we see the people we have relationship with, the people we're connected with, that you rub shoulders with? Do you see, well, they're just people? Or do you see that these are people God has entrusted to you? You have the opportunity of affecting them. You have something to impart to them. Jesus said he has imparted things to them, that he had manifested the Father's life to them. He had given them his words. He realized, I have a mission towards these 12 men. I just want you to see, I don't know whether it strikes you like it strikes me. It just strikes me as, this is not something I would be doing. You know why? Because I don't have the same emphasis on relationships. I would have more of the relationship on my mission. I better be praying for myself. And Jesus did, as we know. He prayed later on, and it's recorded. But in this particular prayer, he's praying for his disciples because he realizes the Father has entrusted them to him. Now, let's just read on here. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. He's glorified in them. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that I may be one, that they may be one as we are. So he's praying, and he's praying for their relationship and their unity and their connection. He says, I'm praying for them that they'll be one as I am one with you, Father. He wants that same unity, the same intensity, the same closeness with his disciples, one to the other, as he has with the Father. Verse 11, keep them through your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He is conscious of Judas. Judas, as of yet, has not betrayed him. That is yet to come. But he's aware of Judas's heart, and he's realized, I haven't been able to keep him. I've kept the other one. He knows Peter's going to fail. He's already, before this, told Peter, you're going to deny me. But he's kept Peter. And that's a whole message in itself. But he's kept, but he realized, I've lost Judas. But then he goes on to say, but you know, that was your will. That's how the plan's going to unfold. It was prophesied that way. But he said, I've kept them. Do we have a sense of keeping the people in our life? The relationships in our life. Are we keeping it? Do we feel they're entrusted to us? Or is it, doesn't really matter if we fall, you know, go separate. It doesn't really matter if that person just doesn't do what I feel the Lord wants. We've witnessed with someone. We've shared with someone. There's someone in our family, someone you work with. There are people that the Lord has entrusted to you. Have you kept them? Have you done everything you can do to keep them? Are you intentional in your relationships? Do you see your mission in your relationship to manifest God's name to them, to pray for them, to keep them, to pray that they have a relationship with God as you have a relationship with God? All of this is coming out of the Lord's Prayer here. Verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. He's very conscious that soon he's going to be departing this world. He's going to be returning to the Father. He's also aware that his disciples are going to be left here on the earth, and they are the ones that are going to be entrusted with the gospel. And so he's saying, look, I'm praying that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil in the world. Let them be successful. Let them accomplish their mission as I've accomplished mine. We're going to see this in just a moment. He goes on in verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word. Now, who are these people? Who are the people that are going to believe on the Lord through their word? Well, certainly it was going to be the 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up with the 11 and he preached the first gospel message and people got saved. They believed on his word. But then there were others that believed on those people who were saved. And it goes right down and right down until it includes, put your hand up, everyone that put their hand up. I believe on the word of the disciples. The writings that they wrote. I'm believing on their witness. I didn't see the risen Savior. I'm trusting the witness of the disciples who said, we saw him. I'm believing on that. So he's now praying for us. He's praying for his disciples, but in his omniscience, he's seeing forward generation after generation right down to us today. And he's praying for us sitting here in this auditorium. Jesus prayed for you. And this is what he prayed for us. Verse 21, that they all may be one. He's praying for our unity. He's praying for our connections. He's praying for our relationship. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. He's praying for a unity that says, you know, I'm in you, Father, and you're in me, and I'm going to be in them. I'm praying for a unity here in their relationships. And why? That the world may believe. Wow. Do you see that there's a connection of the world believing and our relationships? Jesus saw it, took those precious moments that he had just before starting his passion to pray it, to verbalize it, to express it, to pray for his disciples and to pray for us. And when he looked forward to us today, he didn't say, Lord, and meet all their needs. And Lord, and make sure that they're all healthy. And Lord, make sure that they have all kinds of money to do meet all their needs. He saw one main concern as he looked at us. He said, Lord, let them be one. Because everything else comes out of that. If we are one, and we're abiding in the Lord, and the Lord's abiding in us, then we're going to see all of our needs met. But he says, I'm praying for their unity. I'm praying that they will be one. And if we are, the world will believe. Now, why is that? Because it runs contrary to every naturalness. See, it's our selfishness, our self-interest that keeps us independent from each other. I'm not too concerned about you. I'm more concerned about myself. And the world is that way. It's the way of the world. But Christians are to be different. We're to be a light in this world and salt in this world, that we're not like everyone else. We put other people's interest before our own interest. We embrace other people, just not ourselves. That there's a unity amongst the church that causes the world to say, there's a difference here. The Bible says that they were known by their love. The care they had for one another was a major witness to the world. Christians were together. I remember reading years ago about one of the emperors of Rome when the plague was going through. And it said, and he remarked about Christians. He said, they care for their sick. In other words, they were willing to put themselves out, even to expose themselves to sicknesses and so forth. And then he said, but not only their own, but for us. Christians had a love and concern and to care for the sick and the needy, not just their own group, but they included others that weren't part of their group. Now, this is the witness to the world. This is what unity brings about when you lose your selfishness and self-interest and begin to think about others as much as you think about yourself. Jesus is praying for this. He's praying for this kind of unity. There's no division where my life ends and yours begins. That we're seeing a unity amongst us that allows his love to flow from one to the other and to the other. And it's a witness to the world that they would believe. And notice verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Now, how do we carry this off? We carry it off because God has put his glory in us. Now, what's glory? Glory is the manifestation of an attribute. Someone can run fast and they manifest it in the race and they win. They get the glory. You get praise when you manifest some kind of attribute. Now, the Lord says, I've given them your glory. Jesus said, I only do the things I see you do. I only speak the things I hear the Father speak. So he said, now that same attitude, that same glory I'm giving to them. You know, you can't live the Christian life on your own. You can't do it alone. You have to connect with God. But here's the amazing thing. It's not just you and God. It also includes others. There's too many Christians, their only view are them and God, and how God will meet their needs and bless them. And every now and then, well, yeah, and bless these people around me. But we're divided. We don't have a sense of unity. The Father, Jesus was praying here to the Father that there would have to be such a unity that there'd be no division. And he says, I've given them my glory that they can be one. In other words, that without God's love, without his attributes in our life, you won't be able to do this. If you're depending on yourself to meet your needs, then you have a focus on self. We talked about this last week. And it comes from God, but here's what you got to see. God works through people. God speaks to us through people. As humbling as it is to me, God is speaking through me today. No, I don't need to hear the pastor saying. I just hear from God. God will speak through the pastor. God will speak through someone that you're praying with. there's a connection. We're members of the body, and it says, and in the every joint supplies a nourishment, it says in Ephesians 4. We may look at these verses another Sunday. But it's through the joints, through where we're connected, that there's a supply of life. How is an individual member of the body nourished? Food that's digested in the stomach. Well, is every member, does the toe in the stomach? No, the toe gets nourishment because the food flows through the members, through the joints, down to the lowest member. We need to realize we are not, cannot be loners. You are in a body. He's created a body. And God has given us His glory. And that flows one to the other. We need to pray for one another. The Bible says to consider one another, to provoke each other to good works. It's in the consideration of one another, the prayer of someone, the example of someone in our life, the encouragement of someone else, the actually even a rebuke of someone else strengthens us and encourages us. How is God doing it? Through the body. So you have to be connected with others. This is the whole thrust of His prayer. I'm praying that they're one. I pray that there's so much unity that the glory that you, I've given it to them, and it's going to flow to every member. And the glory which you gave me, I have given to them that they may be one just as we are. One, verse 23. I in them, Christ is in us. I in them, you in me, the Father's in Christ, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Gainey comes back to the point, this is how the world's going to know. Now, I hope I haven't belabored this too long, but I really want to unpack these verses that talk about the Lord's Prayer. We read through this and we go away with no sense that we are the answer to the Lord's Prayer. How you connect with other people will determine whether the Lord's prayer is answered. See, if He's praying it, it doesn't mean it's automatic. He's praying that it would be the case. Our joining with others is going to be the fulfillment of this prayer. If we have no emphasis on this, it doesn't really, all we're thinking about is me and God, others and God, that person and God, and we don't see the interconnection. We're missing the power, we're missing the glory, we're missing the witness. It's when we so love one another and care for one another, and then that love reaches out to the world, then the world's going to believe. They're going to say something's different about that group of people. I don't understand why they act the way they do, how they act. I want what they have. Because when they're around us, they feel nourished. They feel benefited. Do you benefit other people? Or is the focus so much on benefiting myself? Now, these are powerful things to take note of. Now let me go to one last portion here, and just so you can relax, we're going to stop at this page. We're not going to the back page. We discovered in the first service that's going to be another message. We're just going to go to the time's up. But let's look at this last portion here, and here's your fill-in. The Bible teaches the value of connecting with others. The Bible teaches the value of connecting with others. Now, obviously, Jesus prayed it, but it's really laid out in the Scripture in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 8. And he's looking forward. The writer here, inspired by the Spirit, is looking at an individual. And he says, there is one alone, without companion. He has neither son nor brother. He's looking at someone who is only by himself. Doesn't have any companions. He doesn't have a sense that person beside me is my brother, that's my sister. He's just alone. I don't want to be that person the Lord's looking at. But he sees this person who's alone. And it goes on, yet there is no end to all his labors, nor is his eye satisfied with his riches. See, a lot of times we want to be alone because I don't want to be bothered by that other person. I have enough to take care of my own needs. I don't want to start thinking about his needs. I need my money to help me meet my needs. I don't want to be thinking about I need to use my resources to help that person. No, my labor, I just need to use the labor that I have for myself. And he says that person, he says this, but there's no end to his labors. He never gets enough. And it says he's never satisfied. Riches will not satisfy you. I mean, if there's anyone here still under the concept, the thought process, that if I have money, I'll be happy. If I get riches, I'll be happy. I just need to set that at rest. Money doesn't bring happiness. And Solomon is the prime example of this. Solomon said, I set my heart to do lots of things. He got gold. He got silver. The Bible even talks about him as being the wisest man, but he's also the richest man. He had all kinds of wealth. And he said it was all vanity. It was like chasing after the wind. He said, I set myself for pleasure. He said, I had 300 wives and 1,000 concubines. So I gave myself to pleasure. He said it was all just a chasing after the wind. So I gave myself to wine. Then he goes on and he says, I gave myself to great projects. I built vineyards and I built palaces and I built all these things. He said it was all vanity. He said at the end, he said it was all a waste. Now, Solomon really did it to the nth degree. So let's not pursue that. That's the devil. He puts that out. Selfishness, your own, get money, be independent. See, money is the god of this world because it makes you independent from God. If I have money, I feel we can do everything. Everything the world offers, you get it with money. But there's a lot of things the world can't give you. And the world can't give you peace, can't give you satisfaction, can't give you contentment, can't give you happiness. And so, but then it goes on, this person that's alone, but he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is a vanity and a grave misfortune. Now, for the sake of time, let's just press in. Verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Two are better than one. Do you believe that? We believe it in a lot of things, except probably the most important thing, your spiritual walk, your spiritual growth. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Your efforts are increased when you do it with somewhere else. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Now, you're going to fall. There's no one here sitting that from here on out, you're going to live a perfect life. You're never going to sin. You're never going to have any problems. You're going to fall. It's just the nature. In this world, we have tribulation. In this world, there's offenses come. Bad things are going to happen to you. But it doesn't need to destroy you. When you fall, if you have someone to help you up, you're not meant to live the Christian life on your own. Don't live it independent from God. Don't live it independent from God's people. That's what the church is, God's people. You need to connect with the church. You need to connect with God's people. But not the church as an institution, but connect with the people in the church. That's the life source that flows to you. It says if you fall, lift up. And folks, we need to do that. When someone falls among us, someone falls into sin, does something wrong, I mean, do we immediately gossip and talk about them and separate ourselves from them and say how terrible that was? Or are we there to help them up? Someone said Christians are the only army who shoot their wounded. We need to get over that. We need to get past that. We need to love those that fall and help them and go to them and get them on their feet again. Listen to what it goes on saying of 11. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? If you're married, or if you have a brother you sleep with or a sister you sleep with, and that's the only sleeping accommodation that is allowable, you'll know that it's much warmer when someone's in the bed with you. When Kay's away, I have to put another blanket on the bed. And it's just a simple thing. Together, we warm one another. Now listen, do you have a warm relationship with the Lord? Or is it sort of hot and cold? Is it lukewarm? It may well be because you haven't considered others. You're doing it by yourself. You're living your Christian life on your own. You're trying to work for God on your own. You're trying to find God's will for your life on your own. You're trying to sort through your problems on your own. You haven't connected. You don't have the support of someone else. And so you're running lukewarm. Together, there's strength. Together, there's warmth. Together, we can be red hot for the Lord. And here's the last verse in this. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. There are things that we can accomplish only together. There are some things we cannot do alone, but we can do it together. Can you move a piano down the steps, put it on a truck, and take it to another house alone? Or do you call for some people to help? We would not think of moving a piano on our own. But how many times did we try to handle piano-sized spiritual issues on our own? And we struggle and struggle and struggle, and someone, you know, points out, you know, there's some other, oh, no, no. You know, someone other will help you, but no, I'm a private person. I don't share. And we just hold things and we struggle on our own. We never get help. We never avail ourselves of the church and what's out there. I'm just saying there is a value to us of connecting with others. Now we're going to stop there and we'll pick this up in weeks to come. And the best part of the message is still ahead. Would you stand with me this morning? Here's the little graphic that we have designed. You can't do it alone. Putting the pieces of your life together. You need the God piece from above. You need the people beside you, each adding their piece. That's when you're going to get your life together. That's when you're going to be successful. That's when you're going to be whole. You can't get your life together alone. And this is hard to say and could be misunderstood, but hear it in the light of everything we've said. You can't do it with God alone because He hasn't designed it that way. He's designed that we're part of a body. He's the head and we're the body. He's designed that your nourishment and your strength comes from unity of people together. That is how God has designed the system. And I'm praying, maybe that's what we can just pray at the end of this service, that one understanding alone can be planted in our thoughts. I need other people to be all that God wants me to be. It cannot just be me and God. God could have done it that way because He doesn't need anything. But He's designed it that we need one another. And Jesus prayed that we would have that unity so that the world would believe. Can we pray that this morning? I hope that you've been awakened to this truth just by going through these two portions of Scripture this morning, that you're awakened to this truth, to say, Lord, I will not do it alone. I see the value. I haven't put an importance on it. I haven't put a priority to it. I've just gone my own way. I've never realized that the people around me, you've given them to me. You've entrusted them to me. I'm to keep a relationship. It's really important that I do, because something hangs in the balance if I don't. So if your heart is open to this truth, would you just raise your hand and just hold it up as I pray for us today? Lord, we raise our hands to say, Lord, we want to be connected. We want to be connected with you, and we want to be connected to those around us. And Lord, I ask that you'd give us a new appreciation for this, that we would have your heart in this matter, that our prayers would be generated out of the same desire of unity that you prayed out of. Lord, may we receive your glory. May we receive your attributes, your power. You're in us. You love through us, Lord, I ask. Help us to lose our independence and our self-centeredness, and help us to become part of the whole so that the world would believe. Lord, put our lives together and use everyone around us to help us to that end. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. We're going to dismiss you this morning, but if you'd like prayer, there's those that are designated that will pray with you here at the front. Just tarry behind. And you know, it's really, we didn't design it this way, but it's really, I think, just appropriate that in your bulletin, there's a sign up for small groups. Don't lose the connection of this message with opportunities to get together. And so do sign up. If you have any questions, see Larry. He's at the back, or anyone else, and we'll tell you more about small groups. This is just a structure that helps us to get our lives together so we can share. So Lord bless you this week. Keep connecting with God and with each other. Be blessed. You're dismissed.